Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. The podcast for moms making the most of playtime. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly internet radio show and podcast where parents can share, learn, and laugh together about natural play ideas to engage their little tots aged between birth and five. So, let's join our host, Melissa Avila, for this week's show.
Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 31. If you are new here, welcome and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room in the dressing up area over here. So what's your week been like for play? Did you manage to squeeze in play, or do you need to add some more? This podcast is about mums making the most of early childhood playtime, and we've had quite a few people through sharing their experiences about play. Last week we had Yanni Nicole, author of Creative Play for Children, introducing us to Waldorf play and how we can use this with our families. Are you a mum with a question about play? Or maybe you have some play activities that work at your house. I love talking to people with a heart for play. Whether you're a mum, parent, carer, or educator, this show is for you. We're not about perfection here, but play, 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 play. We can learn about things together. So if you're a mum making the most of playtime, contact the show and share what you're doing. I'll leave contact information in the show notes. So, as most of you know, I'm moving. Moving house brings its own rewards. Really, really it does. We've spent most of the week matching toy sets and sorting toys for the upcoming yard sale that all the boys have been involved. I tried to do it by myself and find all the little pieces that went with everything, but it was just no point. The boys soon started to come down and they followed me around and started playing with all the pieces that I had. But then I realized that they also could locate all the extra pieces. So we have a toy that uses a hammer and it has four hammers so that everybody can join in. But I only had one hammer and I was just looking around at this basement thinking, where on earth can this hammer be? Okay. Less than 10 seconds later, the big guy rolls up with three other hammers. I found them. See, why was I even trying to find these toys? I don't know why they don't keep them all together in one place. But if they can find them, that's great. They can still use them. So we were gathering together all these toys and working out which things work and which things we just have to throw away and which things just are in pieces. And we probably have no hope in finding them at all. So we've been playing with that and trying to work things out. The kids have been rediscovering old toys that they thought that they'd lost, and that brings its own benefits because, you know, they're hugging on these toys and having to make decisions about whether we're going to put them into the yard sale or not. It's a great learning opportunity for the kids. And although it didn't start off well with me being really frustrated, it turned into quite a positive experience for all of us, seeing as how we can work together to look at these toys. Today I want to talk to you about preschool information that comes home for the parents, followed by the weekly finds. I'll be right back after this short break.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've just had to say farewell to preschool for our second child because we're moving into the British school system. They start as four-year-olds in the term of their fifth birthday of school. I thought it would be a good time to go over our preschool experiences so far. With the two oldest, they've gone through three very different preschools. One under the DOD systems in the military overseas while we were stationed in Italy, and two local preschools in our school district, one 10 minutes up the road from us and one local neighbourhood school. I still have one little one to go, and he technically can start nursery next year when he's three, I think. I wanted to talk about the preschool information that the kids bring home from the teachers. When you're clearing out your preschooler's bag and they bring out all of their goodies, all the things that they've been making, what else comes home? Do you get a newsletter or suggested activities? Or do you just get the activities that they've been doing in school, the things that they've been making, the things that they've been doing? I wanted to talk about two things that we get in our backpack. We have a newsletter and suggested home activities. Sometimes you get a songs sheet as well of all the songs that they've been at school. So at least we have the words, because I don't know about your preschooler, but sometimes my preschooler sings different words to the words that were sung at school, and we don't quite always remember what the song is like. So it's great. So we can actually see the song, know the style, and everything is much better. So yeah, we have the songs as well. So let's have a look at the newsletter that we get. We get a newsletter that happens every 3 weeks, and in the newsletter it talks about the theme, what we're currently studying, a sharing activity, and upcoming events. I love the theme idea because it gives us an opportunity, if we want to do more of the work ourselves at home. So maybe we want to go online on the internet or to the library, visit a museum, or look through photos. We like to do that a lot. It's depending on what the theme is that we actually go on the computer together and look at the photographs that we have and see if any of the photographs that we have actually fit into the theme that we're doing. You'll be really surprised when you go through your own photographs what you really have already there. In the sharing section, it's also known as show and tell. The children are encouraged to bring in an item that they can talk about, and we get on this newsletter a suggestion for each week that's flexible enough for us not to have to worry too deeply about it. And so you can have a mad scramble for it on the morning, which has happened on more than one occasion, I must admit. And so like an example would be bring something you would take to the beach. We were in year-round school, so gosh, it's really weird to say we were and not we are, since we're transitioning. So you have to just bring something in and your child can talk about it at school. There was a couple of days during the week that they had a chance to do some showing and telling. And then, you know, the normal things that you have on a newsletter, like all the upcoming events that you put on your calendar straight away. Otherwise, when sharing day creeps up or snack helper day creeps up, that morning you're not scrambling for things. And so we get this every 3 weeks, and it seems that all the units are done in 3-week intervals. It's probably the same basic information that most preschools give out. You know, they have their contact information at the top as well, so you can get in contact with the school if you need it. The newsletter wasn't available by email this year, this last school year. Maybe it will change in the future, because I know my older son in the next door elementary school, because they're attached, they have an email newsletter. And that was great because, you know, as soon as it came in, I have an online calendar. And so it was just easy to transfer straight away the dates and information straight into the calendar. Whereas we have a paper newsletter for preschool, so that gets hung up at home and put on the whiteboard as soon as the information comes home. The second piece is the suggested home activities. I really like the suggested home activities because there are 8 concepts on there, and they're activities that go along with the theme. They're not required for you to do, but it's just ideas that you can continue with the things that they've been doing at school. So the 8 ideas are language and literacy, phonological awareness, vocabulary and concepts, math, sensory awareness, science, motor development, and family fun. So you're not required to do any of the activities that are on there. They're just sent home for you to be able to do them if you choose to, or if you want to do them. As it says, suggested home activities. And we really like this because, you know, we track off every 6 to 8 weeks, or we did track off every 6 to 8 weeks, and then we would have the kids at home for 2 weeks and sometimes 3 weeks. And it was handy to have some activities to try out with the preschooler at home that you know that they would enjoy because they're done by their preschool teachers. Not only that, but they're appropriate play activities as well to do. They also had a special 1 month email program called May is Better Speech and Hearing Month. And that was a really cool idea. The speech and language pathologist, she gave one idea a day to try with our preschools at home, and she sent us an email and we just downloaded the activity and we could try it with our preschooler. And that was a really clever idea, to just have coming home an activity that was connected to the school. So here we have suggested home activities that are appropriate preschool activities that we can do together that are relevant. That's preschool activities that we can do together that are relevant, right there at our fingertips. Your child can be the expert. They'll love to tell you all about their theme as you explore the activity together. I didn't feel overwhelmed at all by all the activities that they sent home. And especially in times like now when the kids are off until September because we're changing school systems and moving the country, I can dip into these activities because, yes, I did save some of them, not all of them, and I can just tell that my preschooler will enjoy these activities and be able to talk about the things that he was doing in school. And it will kind of trigger happy memories and trigger activities that they've been doing in school too. It gives him something to talk about. A way that he can talk to his brothers, he can talk to us and tell us about the things that he was doing. Having multiple ages in the house, it's hard to remember to keep my preschool hat on. Anybody remember Wurzel Gummidge? Okay, I'm showing my age. Anyway, Google it if you don't know who Wurzel Gummidge is. I often miss the mark, I have to admit, on giving the middle one something to do when, as a preschooler. It's either too hard or it's too easy. It's pretty easy to do that with the younger brother and the older brother too, because I have these three different ages in the house. So everybody gets the same thing. So sometimes it's worth having activities that are actually identified as preschool activities so that you can not make that type of mistake. It keeps me on track. I belong to a few mummy groups online, and yeah, I can see other preschoolers as well, to see whether the activities that I'm doing are really worthwhile. But, you know, we come across that same problem that every family does what's right for their family, and maybe it's not right for your family. It can be really easy to be sucked into doing things that you have no reason why you're even doing it that way. Although I love finding out about new things while I'm in these mummy groups or with friends, I guess for me it's about choosing family values and having a plan rather than being swept along in the current of what's popular. So that's why I really like these suggested home activities. I don't know what the other parents did with their preschooler suggested home activities. I do wonder how people would see it. It wasn't homework. I wonder if people thought of it that way though. I like the communication and the chance to have more play activities with my child. Not just any play activities, but ones from early childhood educators and on a theme, the theme that they've been studying at school. So you can continue this whole conversation. It just keeps on going and keeps on going. But I don't know. What do you think? As parents, what do you get home in your preschooler's bag? Do you like the idea of suggested home activities or not? What about educators and carers? Do you send home activities? Do you get feedback on it? Does it work? I'd love to hear your feedback from your preschool experiences. Is it too much or too little play direction? As most of you know, I produce a weekly newsletter at play-activities.com. I focus on open-ended activities with extension activities that take you up or down a level. It's not aimed at preschoolers per se or toddlers, but seeing an activity, you pitch it to the level your child is at. because although your child is a preschooler, they may be operating at a higher level or a lower level than that, and that's fine. They all grow and learn from wherever they're at right now. And so that's the beauty of open-ended play, is that they can take it to whatever heights that they want it to, and you can drop it to whatever level that works for them and starts for them. It's usually one email a week with 5 activities in it, and perhaps a play recommendation. I know some of the ideas have been used in a parent co-op program, where parents come in and play and supervise a room full of kids, then they're able to drop off their kids on other days while they do whatever they need to do. Go to the gym, go shopping, read, study, watch TV, I don't know. The kids have toys, but the leader of the day has ideas out for the parents to try. I've also had a few preschools say that they use the activities. I'm not sure whether it's given to the parents or they adapt and use these ideas themselves with the children. I guess if you're looking to find some open-ended play activities and want to talk laugh with your child, you should try the free newsletter. Yes, free newsletter. You can go to play-activities.com to sign up. Let's take a short break.
This is Judy Johnston from the Tessie and Tab Reading Club, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Okay, time for the weekly finds. This week I have 3 links for you. Since it's summer and we're moving, we love cardboard boxes right now, and they seem to be everywhere. I think maybe everybody's just buying lots of things, or maybe I just notice them. You know how you notice more things like that when you're dealing with them all the time? So anyway, I'm into cardboard boxes at the moment, and this article caught my attention. 6 fun things to do with a cardboard box. A cardboard box is the ultimate playmaker. And you can find out what those 6 fun things are at parentsconnect.com/articles/things-to-do-with-cardboard-box.jhtml. That's parentsconnect.com, articles, things to do with cardboard box, JTHML. The second link I'd like to share with you is by Jamie Martin of Steady Mum. She's written a guest post at simplemum.net called 10 Picture Books That Teach Important Life Lessons. I love this list of new books to look at. You should check it out. That's 10 Picture Books That Teach Important Life Lessons at simplemum.net. And the last link for you this week is by Ali from notimeforflashcards.com. She has a summer reading challenge of books over at her blog. You can find out all about summer reading at notimeforflashcards.com, summerreading.html. I'll leave those 3 links in the show notes so that you can go and have a look. This week has been busy with moving, but also because I got to be on the TV on Saturday. I was on Channel 7 KMGH TV, that's Denver's ABC affiliate, just before the 9 o'clock news. I was sharing some outdoor products that would be perfect for families to use and get their outdoor play on. Along with the segment, I'm offering the products as a giveaway on my Play Activities blog this week. You only need to comment to win, and the contest is open to continental US only. Full rules and entries and bonus entries are also there. The contest ends on Friday the 2nd of July 2010 at 11:59 Mountain Standard Time. Okay, time to go. Thanks for listening to today's show and have a great week. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 31 for the week of the 27th of June 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime.
Thanks for listening to the Raising Playful Tots podcast. For new show ideas or comments, leave a voicemail at 214-615-6506, extension 3998, or send an email to Melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. You can follow Melitza on Twitter @playactivities, where she tweets about play, visit the show notes for links to what we have talked about in today's show, or leave a comment at www.raisingplayfultots.com. While you are there, you can sign up for our newsletter so you'll never miss any updates about the show. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell your friends, and please consider writing a review on iTunes to help spread the word.